welcome to Burn Orange Nation Live and the first ever edition of First and Ten, a new feature highlighting live conversation with sports fans, bloggers, and reporters across the country. Today's guest is Ted Hutton of the Orlando Sun Sentinel, who's joining me today to talk about Texas' season opening opponent, the Florida Atlantic Owls. Ted, thanks for joining me. How's it going down there in Florida?
Well, it's been awful wet, and there's another storm forming, so we have our eyes on the tropics these days, but that's the sign that football season's here.
Yeah, well, has it affected Florida Atlantic's ability to practice any?
No, they got in every practice, which was pretty amazing. But that's only because a couple years ago they put in a synthetic surface track, infield track, and they can practice there. So they had a lot of practices there because their practice fields were saturated. But they did get them all in. A lot of wet ball practice, that's for sure. So if it rains in Texas, they'll be all set.
Right. Well, let's start with what has become the surprise lead story to this game. Coach Schnellenberger's comments about Texas being soft, and I'll go ahead and quote him here. He says, "Texas has always had a very polished team that has great talent, but they aren't tough. They aren't a physically tough team. We'll put three hats on them and make them not want to get up. That's the way to beat Texas." What's your read on his motivation here?
Well, you know, that's nothing new as far as him wanting his defense to be tough. And I think in this sense he was kind of lulled a little bit. It was a student interview with a student, you know, network, and I wasn't, you know, he's pretty savvy, but I don't think he realized how quick this thing would get out there or whatever. But his view has been that spread offenses create soft teams. That's his overall view. And you know, he's one of the few guys that still runs a pro-style offense in college, and he swears by it and says that, you know, that the spread, because it's all angles and, you know, as he later says in an interview, the dinky little passes and stuff, he says it creates soft teams. So I think that's what he was alluding to, and it's something he believes.
Yeah, well, he's got good company. USC, of course, still runs the pro style. But let's talk about Florida Atlantic's guy, Rusty Smith. You wrote today that Schnellenberger thinks he's a first-round NFL draft talent. Give us your scouting report on Rusty Smith.
Yeah, well, Rusty's made last year was a huge year for him. He was a redshirt freshman the year before and was really shaky. He started the season, was a starter, and went into Clemson and just so totally melted down. And he'll tell you, he just fell apart, you know, in front of all the fans and all the pressure and everything. By the end of the season, he was starting again. Then last year, he just had a phenomenal year. The guy he's not very mobile, but he is really smart, and he's tall, and, you know, he gets around just enough, but he's very accurate, and he doesn't make mistakes. You know, he really takes care of the ball. So he's primed for it. He's had a great preseason, too.
Texas, as you probably know, is starting five. The five deep at safety. There are five redshirt or true freshmen. How good is Rusty Smith's deep ball? How do you see Schnellenberger game planning?
They will definitely test that secondary. There's no doubt about it. I mean, the concern is their center is probably not going to play. He got a bad ankle sprain or foot sprain in the scrimmage. So they're having to shuffle the line around. But if they can give him time, he can do some damage. Against Florida, which had the same situation last year, they had a really young secondary. He threw for over 200 yards and he only played half the game. And they kept it close there for a while. So, if they give him enough time, he can do some damage. And if they try and blitz, he's pretty smart about picking that up and doing that. He's got some good, you know, Cortez Gent is a great receiver. He can get downfield, and they've got a sophomore named Lester Jean who didn't play all that much last year, but he could be a surprise. He can really go down the field, and he's like 6'3" and really fast. Good receiver and makes some really great catches. So they can take advantage of that, but I don't know if they can run. That's going to be the problem there. I don't think they can run.
Yeah, well, you mentioned – You mentioned the injury to Nick Paris. How's this offensive line looking? We're returning five starters, I guess, now with Paris out. It's just four?
Yeah, and Kevin Miller's hurt, too, so they really lost two starters. But the advantage is, for the first time, really, in the long history of this program, which is only their eighth year, they have some depth. So they've got a guy with Laboris Williams who stepped in and will play well, and they've got this 6'8", 330-pound guy named Carl Spital, who was a transfer and has been kind of in the sidelines, and then all of a sudden he had a great camp and was practicing with the first team the other day. So they've got some guys who can step in, but Paris is a big loss. I mean, Rusty was talking about it the other day, that, you know, he's a fifth-year senior and can spot things and tell him things that no other player can do. So it's going to be tough to overcome that, especially against when you're opening against Texas.
Right. Last year, well, we know Florida Atlantic can score, and I absolutely respect this offense, and Rusty Smith looks really, really impressive to me. But let's talk a little bit about the defense. Last year at Kentucky, 45 points allowed, and then, of course, 59 to Florida. Tell me why Texas isn't going to score 50 on the Owls on Saturday.
No, Texas might score 50. the defense is really strange, because up until last year, the defense was always like the strength of the team. You know, they would always, you know, limit the, you know, tell the team to 20 points. There was a stretch there where they allowed like a field goal in two games or something. And then last year, you know, the main thing was a lack of a pass rush. They lost two defensive linemen in the fourth game of the season, and that really hurt them. That was before the Kentucky game, and those two guys were really critical. One of them's back now, Josh Savage. The other guy graduated was Josh Pinnock. But, the defense still doesn't look that good this year. The pass rush, I mean, they got a great duo of corners. They got two new safeties, so that's a bit of a question mark. They got good linebackers, but I just don't see the line doing what it needs to do to create a pass rush. And that's what killed them last year. They let teams, when they had teams down, they let them back in, and they just never seemed to hold down the scoring. So the offense always had to score more. And they were able to do it, and that was fine in the Sun Belt, but stepping out of conference, it's not going to work.
Right. Well, one thing Florida Atlantic did exceptionally well was create turnovers. You mentioned Rusty Smith protecting the football, and Florida Atlantic only turned it over 15 times last year, but the defense took it away 33 times, a plus 18 margin. You know, sometimes that's luck, but sometimes that's a skill. Is this something that the Owls do specifically to try to create pressure? I know Tavius Polo had six picks in the first four games. What's your take on that?
Oh, no, they practice it. I mean, Howard Schnellenberger will yell at if a defender knocks down a ball and he even has a, you know, eighth of a chance of an interception, he's all over him. That should have been an interception. You know, he's out there screaming it at him. So, no, they practice it, and they're very good at it. They force fumbles. It's something that defense, you know, really tries to do. You know, and part of what Howard was saying about his defense is, you know, they do gang tackling is a big deal, and against the spread, they do love to knock the receivers around. That is part of the game plan. When they upset Hawaii in 2006 or 2005, when they went out there, that was the game plan. Mm-hmm. Just, you know, receivers catch the ball and just annihilate them. That's what they did, and pretty soon, this is Hawaii, it's not Texas, but those receivers did not want to catch the ball.
Well, you mentioned we talked about Schnellenberger's comments. What's your sense on the team? Do they think they can come to Austin and get a win? And as we let you go here, paint for us the scenario under which Florida Atlantic could do it.
Yeah, they definitely are a confident team. After what happened last year, they have come in. They made their goal getting to a BCS bowl game, which means they pretty much have to go undefeated. They know that people are rolling their eyes and all that stuff. But, no, they definitely go in this game thinking they can win. There's no doubt about it. Now, to do it, everything has to go right for them and everything has to go wrong for Texas. I think that's pretty much, I mean, Texas is going to have to be, that secondary is going to have to be really shaky. Maybe they intercept Colt McCoy early to get him, you know, thinking, you know, being a little careful. You know, things like that have to happen. A big turnover, a run back. But, you know, the problem FAU has had is they never have gone on the road and played well against the BCS team. They always get blown out pretty early. So, but this is a different team, so we'll see what happens.
All right, and last question, Ted. One player that we may not be hearing much about that could have a huge impact on this game for Florida Atlantic.
Let's see. Well, you know, their tight end from last year, Jason Harmon, was knocked out in the spring, and he was a great player. So they've been auditioning for that part. And Jamari Grant looks to be the guy who's taken his place. And in this offense, the tight end is a huge target. And I would say that he could be a real interesting, you know, if they start using him and get him the ball a lot, you know, he could have a difference. And I'd also watch for Lester Jean. Again, he's a receiver people haven't heard about, but he had a great spring and really, really can go deep and could be a surprise too.
Okay. Ted Hutton from the Orlando Sun Sentinel, thank you for joining us.
All right, thank you. See you out in Austin.
I am Peter Bean. This has been First and 10 on Burnt Orange Nation Live. Enjoy your game week and hook 'em horns.